This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We move over to the next conversation, and our conversation is on the land expropriation bill, which was announced yesterday by the Deputy President. And this is in relation to repealing the Land Act, the Land Expropriation Act of 1975, which Cabinet says is inconsistent with the Constitution. And as I was saying, that Advocate Nkaito Obiet raised the point in one of his tweets that what does this mean in relation to the section, to the amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution, that process that is currently underway. So we have him on the line. He's joining us. We'll also be speaking to Professor Ruth Hall, as well as Bulela Mabaso, who actually worked on that presidential land reform committee. We're taking your calls as well on 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin Simpier, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at PowerFM 987. Advocate, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Thank you. Thank you, Aldrin, and thanks for the invitation.
Okay, let's first understand what your gripe is and what it is that you don't understand, and probably I don't know if Bulela will be able to answer some of those questions that you have, and then we'll get Professor Ruth Hall to enter the conversation as well.
Sorry, I don't follow
So this is in relation to the repealing of that 1970 Land Expropriation Act of 1975, right?
I was saying
that in relation to your tweet that you sent out yesterday.
You want me to expand on that?
Yeah, excuse me?
You want me to expand on that?
Yes, please.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, thanks. No, I think the one critical point about the bill as a whole is how it links to the amendment to Section 25.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, what you typically have in a constitutional context is you begin with a text of the Constitution, which then makes provision for law of general application. And then national legislation follows the text of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is in constitutional lawyers refer to as subsidiarity. So you start with a higher order law, and then you come with a lower order law. So ordinarily, an expropriation bill or act would be a lower order law flowing from the higher order, which is the Section 25 process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the confusion that the parliamentary process throws into this debate is that what you would have expected is that the parliament will have to first decide what the text of the Constitution will look like.
Mm-hmm.
Once the text has been decided, the law of general application will flow naturally from the text.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have, in a sense, inverted that process, began with a bill when they know that there is a process of amending the Constitution that is on the way. Because of that inversion of the process, we don't know what the text of the Constitution will look like.
Mm.
Right? And we may have a process where we amend again the expropriation bill.
Yes.
Because it turns out to be inconsistent with the eventual text of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is the critical problem.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't follow is why, I mean, I don't agree with the constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't follow is why they've decided to pass the bill now when only 2 weeks ago, Dr. Matole Motshekga told us that they are going ahead full steam with the process of amending the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's problem one. There is a second problem, which is the linkage between this bill and what I've referred to as land restitution. Now, this is an old problem ever since the Restitution Act was passed in 1994. What you had were two parallel regimes of expropriation. You had general expropriation powers mm-hmm. applying to property, resorting under the Department of Public Works, and that's the 1975 Expropriation Act.
Yeah.
And then you had specific land expropriation powers resorting under the Department of Land Affairs, later on called Rural Development and Land Affairs. The key point, certainly I've been arguing, is an alignment so that all land expropriation in the public interest falls under one department.
Mm-hmm.
But the bill perpetuates the parallel systems of general expropriation and land expropriation. And those powers are still located and regulated by the Department of Public Works, where this current bill resides.
Mm-hmm.
So that structural problem is not resolved. It is instead affirmed or confirmed by the current bill.
Mm-hmm.
There is, of course, the last problem, which I don't think I have enough time on your show to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
The problems of land reform are deep. They are structural. They are historical. They are not going to be resolved by ad hoc and superficial changes. Insofar as that question is concerned, the bill does very, very little. And I've seen some of the media houses referring to this as the land expropriation. It's not. It is the general property expropriation, of which land is a facet. Mm. Its historical origin lie in the state acquiring land or property for its own uses.
Yeah.
Its origin is not redistribution of land in the public interest for land reform purposes.
Mm-hmm.
For that, we have to look under the Restitution Act. And so that's why I'm just concerned that there seems to be what I've referred to as action without strategy, because the broad strategy has not yet been settled, and we see this ad hoc intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three key problems that I see at the moment. I've got other problems with the content of the bill, but those will be discussed later.
Okay. Bulelwa, just good morning and welcome to you as well. From your understanding, the three issues that Advocate Mukaitobi has raised now, what's your understanding of how this bill will be implemented as well?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me. I think it's important to, as Thembeka has done, to delineate between the two processes and understand how they differ. There is currently a parliamentary process which is run by Parliament, by the Joint Constitutional Committee, that has already put out draft wording for the amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution. Now, the draft wording that has been put forward by Parliament is a multi-party process. It's not an ANC process. It's a multi-party mm-hmm. process that is looking specifically at enabling expropriation without compensation to take place with specific reference to land reform.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at what wording has been put forward in that amendment of Section 520, amendment to Section 5, Section 25,
yeah.
Its main concern is precisely what Thembeka has flagged as in an issue that hasn't been dealt with properly.
Mm-hmm.
It deals specifically with land reform. So expropriating for land reform purposes on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we've got the Public Works Department that has now published this expropriation bill of 2020. Now, this expropriation bill is also at the back, you could argue, of enabling expropriation without compensation to happen for land reform purposes. Why do I say that? The old apartheid law only made expropriation possible for public purposes. What this bill does, it includes expropriation in the public interest. And if you look at Section 25 of the Constitution, the public interest also includes land reform. So I agree that the timing is not neat, that you could have these separate processes happening, not necessarily coordinated. But I don't think that it is a major crisis, considering the fact that the draft wording of Section 25 in Parliament dovetails with the expropriation bill. And secondly, I'd like to say the expropriation bill does, in fact, seek to deal with this particular issue of land reform, although it doesn't do so in explicit terms, but I think the inclusion of public interest brings land reform within that frame.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the issue, I'd also like to just make a brief remark,
mm-hmm.
and that brief remark is this. It is unfortunate that with expropriation appears to be the thing that attracts the most attention. the public, the Land Reform Department has done various things. I mean, since February 2020, there's been a land donations policy that looks at funding the land reform project beyond just the state, which has been published for comment, but we didn't see this amount of interest. Mm-hmm. There's also been a beneficiary and selection allocation policy that was also published in February 2020 that looks at who must benefit from land reform.
Yeah.
It looks at all of these issues. And thirdly, we saw the state, I think it was last week, where I think 7,700 hectares of land have been released. Mm-hmm. And the questions, for purposes of farming, the questions we should be engaging with are, who is going to be receiving this land?
Okay.
What criteria and for what purpose?
Okay, Bulelo, unfortunately, Advocate Ngugaitobi has to rush off. So I just need him to quickly respond to the question around, you speak about the drafting, right? So this is not, so the constitution hasn't been amended as yet, Bulelo.
No.
So I think the argument that he also makes is that why do you have legislation when you have a section 25 of the constitution not yet amended? We are still at a drafting point of view.
No, I mean,
yes, I did agree with that. The timing is not, it shouldn't happen. This, I mean, that there's no question about that.
Okay, Advocate Ngugaitobi.
No, I mean, they can't explain it, Adrian. I mean, this is part of the old problem with the land reform in this country. It's unclear to me whether or not this is a deliberate strategy to steal a march on Dr. Matole Motshekga, or it's just a general confusion with the department. They just cannot explain why they put up a process to amend the constitution, which in my view is a wrong process. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, before that process is finalized, they're passing a bill. If they want to amend the constitution, they must amend it so that we are finished with that process. Mm. Once they've amended it, then
and the bill will then flow from that.
The bill, this is how the law works in this country. You just sometimes really wonder if there is anyone advising the government on these questions, because it's logical that law flows from the constitution. So you must first settle the text of the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about timing. It is a substantive issue that you are throwing confusion to the public mind about whether or not you are grasping the enormity of the exercise that you are engaged with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't see this as a mere question of timing and some draft wording that is flowing around. I see this as a fundamental question of throwing confusion in the mind. It was only 2 weeks ago, Adam, that Matole Motshekga was speaking in the public, telling us what he's doing about the constitution. If they don't want to amend the constitution, they must explicitly abandon the process. I mean, so that is really the key problem. And there is no explanation. This was asked by a journalist yesterday. Minister Togo Didiza couldn't give a proper explanation about why we are engaged in parallel processes.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for me, is the center of the problem.
Yep.
And later on, I should probably come back to your show. Unfortunately, I have to go to a consultation now. Later on, I'm going to set out to you, clause by clause, the problems with the current bill, which are misaligned to the overall project of a fundamental land reform, which is what we need in this country. There is also the problem of the location of this function.
Mm-hmm.
We've always, I certainly have argued, that having two parallel departments engaged in the same creates confusion. I've seen this in practice as well. This bill is still managed by Public Works Department. What we are talking about is land reform, which will need to be located under Minister Didiza's office.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Advocate, for your time. I really appreciate it. Bulelo, I'll get you to respond to that just after this, and then we'll bring Professor Ruth Hall into the conversation as well.
Power Talk with Eldrin Sampier, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Okay, Bulelo, just your quick response to Advocate Ngugaitobi, and he's arguing that it's not about the timing. This is a fundamental question, and then we'll get Professor Ruth to respond to that as well.
Look, the principle of subsidiarity has long been established in our law. So I do not disagree with the fact that you must amend the constitution In fact, let me put it this way. The amendment or the wording of this of Section 25 of the Constitution has to inform your secondary legislation, which is the expropriation bill. But where I'm at is that we already have that wording that is still to be settled by Parliament. There was a statement that was issued that the public participation process in that Section 25 process is to resume, I think, on the 20 sometime, you know, during the month of October. But we have to engage with what is envisaged in that in that amendment. That amendment already envisages that land reform is a matter of public interest that must be considered expropriation. Let me just explain. I think it's important for me to outline what is an expropriation.
Bulelo, I'm so sorry. Like everyone has to rush off. Now we have Professor Ruth is going to an urgent meeting. I apologize, Bulelo.
No problem. But
I'll get you to expand on that just after Power News headlines. Let me just quickly get Professor Ruth's hold, his take on this conversation as well. Prof, good morning. Prof, I wanted to have you until the top of the hour, but it's okay. It's okay.
Sorry, I didn't realize I have another meeting. But listen, I think that we're not disagreed. What I think that Bulelo and Tembeka and myself are all saying is, listen, expropriation is a tool. The expropriation bill is needed. In a sense, it's 24 years too late.
Yeah.
Because what it's doing is it's bringing our legislation in line with the Constitution that was agreed in 1996. So it seems a little premature because we're in the midst of looking at changing that Constitution. Mm-hmm. But for 24 years, we've had a contradiction of legislation out of tune with the Constitution. But I think the most important thing is that expropriation is just a tool. What we don't have is a clear policy response from government saying what it plans to do. When does it want to expropriate as opposed to buy on an open market? When it's when and where and on what terms does it want to expropriate? When expropriating, how does it want to treat the question of compensation? The presidential advisory panel that Bulelo and I served in made a specific recommendation that government should actually develop a compensation policy. Don't leave it and wait for the courts. Of course, this is all subject to judicial review, but the last thing you want is like a judge to be deciding on every single case. You want to have government saying, in general, we want to approach certain situations, we want to pay market compensation. In certain situations, we will not pay anything.
Yeah.
And in some situations, we're going to approach it in this and this way. One way to embed that in the law is actually to make that compensation policy, to embed that as regulations to the expropriation bill. And I think that this also goes to a core issue. I think that Tembeka might have been wanting to flag, or he might when he comes back to which is the question about where the power rests. And, you know, expropriation is normally an administrative a process that sits with the executive that is subject to review by courts. And I think that from what it seems is that now we're going with a model in which the decision-making is all within the courts. I think that this is going to prove to be a problem if we don't provide policy clarity and executive direction. And instead ask the courts laboriously to go through each case. Now, we know that the Land Claims Court hasn't been working effectively. Mm-hmm. There's a Land Courts Bill process. You know, so I think that
doesn't even have permanent judges.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that the key thing is, you know, the Interministerial Committee has been going for 2 years. The Presidential Advisory Panel reported and presented to Cabinet last July. And what we wanted yesterday was not just the release of an expropriation bill, but a comprehensive response, point by point, to our 31 recommendations, of which this bill was only one. So I would like to hear a response from the IMC to say, here's what we plan to do. Because I think that now, after all these years of debate, South Africans need government to be frank with us and to say, here's the plan. We've heard your recommendations. We've heard the debates. Here's what we're going to do. But not just to release a tool in isolation from a plan.
Yeah.
That's where I think we are.
Thank you so much, Professor. That's Professor Ruth Hall. When we come back, we'll still be in conversation with Bulelo Mabasa. We'll be taking your calls as well on 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin Simpia, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. And particularly that question that Professor Ruth Hall raises, and that is leaving it all up to the courts to decide. even in relation to compensation without a policy being in place. And that's a point that has been raised during the interview that Neo Liu had last night as well with the Minister Patricia de Lille, and we'll play a clip of that interview.
Power Talk with Eldrin St-Pierre, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
And as you heard now in Power News headlines, Matola Mutsheka indicating that by the end of this year, that issue should be resolved. This is now around the amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution. Well, the end of the year is how many months away? 2 months away? Will that really happen within 2 months? We're taking your calls as well on 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Eldrin St-Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Bulelwa, apologies again for interrupting you twice. just the point that you were trying to raise earlier on around understanding expropriation.
Yes, let's understand what expropriation is. This is a global tool used in most countries in the world to allow, enable government to use its power to acquire property or land that is going to be used for in the public interest. So expropriation is not only designed for land reform. It is just an acquiring tool. What that means is that expropriation is used, for example, when government builds the Gautrain, that, that it uses expropriation powers to do so. And the general rule is that it must go with compensation. That is the definition of expropriation, that it must go with compensation. What this whole discussion is now about is that it's trying to make room to be able to expropriate less than the market value, which is what the Constitution actually envisages. So it's not right. That's why I disagree with Tembeka when he says that it's not this expropriation bill that's going to resolve all the land reform problems. Mm-hmm. All that this bill is, it says the state can expropriate under the following circumstances, and it may even be nil in certain other circumstances. But it's not designed to be the magic bullet to solve all land reform problems. Mm-hmm.
But I understood land expropriation to have even taken place with the build of the Gautrain. Is that not
absolutely
true?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. So it is also true that you don't need an amendment to the Constitution in order to use the expropriation powers. Mm-hmm, the expropriation powers have already been used.
Yeah.
The problem has been, though, Eldrin, is that it hasn't been used for land reform purposes. It's been used for public purposes, not in the public interest. That's where the fundamental issue has been.
Oh, okay.
The government has been slow to use it for purposes of making land available for land reform.
Okay, so 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Eldrin St-Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. So when it comes to the issue around, as you've pointed out now, compensation and the part around compensation, and we just heard now from Professor Ruth Hall saying that that decision making lying in the hands of the judges in the absence of a policy is problematic.
I think it is. Firstly, let's just remind ourselves that Section 25 already tells us what factors to take into account when we expropriate. It's clear. It says we must look at the history of how the property was acquired. It says we must look at whether there was state investment. It sets those out. The expropriation bill also tries to do that. And so the expropriation powers do lie within the executive. So the executive has to apply the principles that are in the Constitution and the bill in order to determine what then must ultimately be given to an owner of land whose land has been expropriated.
Yeah.
Do I believe that there is room for a compensation policy? Perhaps there is, and I think perhaps there is in a form of a regulation. But and I also don't agree that it is only the courts that must be the almost get their hands dirty when it comes to compensation. I think there is room for a regulation that will sort of clarify the issue. But even more than that, let's leave away legislation. Where I think all three of us agree, Tembeka and Ruth and myself, is that there's got to be a clear, coherent national policy to resolve the land question in general and in its entirety, not just to look at one process that happens in Parliament or another in legislation and another in a policy. We just need to have a national vision for land reform in South Africa so that we all know what steps can be taken in pursuit of that goal. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to find that just with tinkering with wording in legislation.
So from that ANC-NEC meeting from earlier on this year, the NEC had decided at that time that there should be a policy shift, and the policy should ultimately, and the decision-making powers should be handed over to the Minister of Land Reform and not the courts. So that was an NEC decision, but I don't know how this flows considering this particular announcement that has been made now by Cabinet.
So if you look at the bill itself, it doesn't just say compensation is going to be dealt with by the courts. It introduces a mediation.
Yeah.
It introduces that two parties, you know, involved, the state and the party involved, are going to go through some negotiation. Yeah. There's mediation. The courts have the ultimate power, though, of decision making. I don't think that's a new thing.
Yes,
I think
exactly.
The courts have always had the jurisdiction to resolve disputes around compensation, whether it's in land reform or any other type of property.
I think, and I asked this question also on the basis that Advocate Nkwetobi, having served as an acting judge in the Land Claims Court, had raised the point before that what has happened is the judgments have come out, and the judgments have always flown around or looking at market value. And he's argued before that it doesn't necessarily have to be market value, but in the absence of a policy that can guide judges, that then becomes problematic.
Yes, because that is absolutely true. I mean, if you look at all those factors, the only one, the argument or rather has been that market value is easily determinable because you can get a valuer, you can get an expert to deal with it. But I think that is lazy, because if we look at all the other factors in Section 25, if we look at the history of acquisition, there's no basis that we can't look at the deeds registry to check how much the property or land was worth when it was taken away or when somebody was dispossessed.
Yeah.
It says look at whether there was compensation paid when that land was acquired. So I do think that it would really, really assist to have some kind of a framework that is already present that can assist even the public works department to deal with it. Let me explain to you why we have this conflation between public works and land reform. As I said, expropriation deals with when the state purchases land or property for any other purpose. So it would make sense why public works would be that, because public works will have database of all the state assets, of all assets that sits within the state. And then land reform will only deal with, obviously, land reform issues. This may raise a question out there that says, should expropriation for land reform purposes be dealt with exclusively by the Land Reform Department? In other words, do you separate two kinds of expropriation? One is just for, I'm going to call it a Gautrain type expropriation, and another one is an expropriation, say, to settle people on land who need the land or who were dispossessed of land. And whether we should have two separate types of expropriation, and to prefer, or rather to put even more emphasis on the land reform types expropriation. But I did explain to you why it is that we have expropriation only done in under one legislation, which is the Expropriation Act.
Okay, so let's just quickly listen to this bite from Power Perspective last night with Neo Liu, where the Minister of Public Works was addressing this particular question. That is Minister Patricia de Lille, and then we'll be taking your calls on 061-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin Sampier, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at Power FM 987.
We have now submitted the bill to Parliament, so Parliament will now discuss and debate the bill. All the public representatives are represented in Parliament. And that is the process that will unfold now. Once Parliament has deliberated on the bill, then finally, and they agree on it, then it will be sent to the President to be signed into law. But as far as the parliamentary processes are concerned, it's only Parliament that can decide on the time frame under which they will finalize the bill.
How much scrutiny is this, open to? I have seen some of the opposition saying that the country cannot afford the financial fallout of allowing land expropriation.
No, certainly they are wrong. This bill brings certainty to South Africans, to investors, because for the first time it clearly outlines how expropriation can be done and on what basis. We had to repeal the 1975 Act that was inconsistent with the Constitution. They must read the whole bill. They will see that where there is a dispute about what compensation needs to be paid, that the courts of our country, that's independent, it is our courts that will then mediate on the dispute, and the courts will make a final decision.
Okay, let's take your calls on 061-987-000, your tweets at Aldrin Sampier, hashtag Power Talk, and also you can tweet at PowerFM987. Matunjwa, good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
Sure?
Abantu abafana no shone by abakwazi ukuthi bashonile. And it's not the first time lomlungu enza kanje. There was in the morning sometimes last year, he came again, wazokhuluma lo dot awukhulumayo. Right, Adrian, another thing. Lento yeland iyasidisturba kakhulu because dala kulokhu kukhulunywa ngale land kwenziwa ama-bill out 34 namhlanje ayikaze ize i-solveke i-problem. Another thing, Adrian, ngicela ukubuza, kunama-land athiwa angaphansi kamasipala, yabona, in most cases a huge land. Ngicela ukubuza ukuthi naye le land, naye lezi ndaba ze-land, umasipala akanawo ama-powers okunikeza abantu leyo land. Kumele ukuthi naye kuze kuyonegotiatewa ephalamente na. Ngiyabonga.
Okay, thank you so much. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Aldrin?
Good, Patrick.
Good, thanks. I wanted to continue on the political route.
Mm.
You know, Aldrin, when the ruling party campaigned in 2019, they campaigned on land expropriation without compensation. Now, when I look at this bill, there's this compensation to be determined by the court, and then it's only a clause. Without compensation, it's only a clause. And then now the ANC is very smart because now the minister in charge of this whole process of land expropriation is the Minister of Public Works, who's not an ANC member. So now they can distance themselves from this whole situation. So now it looks like the ANC, when they campaigned, they only spoke about land expropriation without compensation to take away voters from that other party.
Yep.
So now it looks like we've been duped.
I have to say, though, Patrick, you know, politically speaking, when I was listening to that interview that Neo had with Patricia de Lille, I was like, sure, this is Patricia de Lille from the PAC. Sure. Well, formerly with the PAC. But thank you so much for that, Patrick. Bulela, those questions that were raised by Matunjwa, and I think Patricia de Lille spoke about that during that interview with Newo, and that is in relation to land that is owned by the municipalities.
Yes, the municipalities are able to use their expropriation powers independently. They don't have to wait for this bill at all. And remember that in the absence of this bill, we are stuck with the 1975 Act, which only says expropriation must happen by market value.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that says that the municipalities cannot expropriate land for land reform purposes, and that they can do so relying on the factors that are stated in the Constitution. But also with the land release program that is out there. My gripe with that, I don't know if you recall that Minister Didiza announced that there'd be thousands and thousands of hectares of land that will be released.
Oh, yes.
My issue with that, Eldon, is that Section 25.5 of the Constitution envisages that there will be legislative measures that ensure that people who need land can access land. And when the state comes and they do announcements, one has to question, well, where is the legislation that tells us who qualifies for land, what criteria is going to be used, and where will that land be allocated? So there is still, for me, a legislative lacuna that needs to be addressed mm-hmm. when it comes to redistribution or people who need land. And we've seen, I mean, the statistics have shown us that almost 80% of South Africans are based in urban areas. They want yep. economic opportunities. We need legislation that deals with land redistribution, mm-hmm. more so, in my view, than this issue of expropriation without compensation. Because in any event, yep. you will only expropriate without compensation in very minimal circumstances. Mm. Where you need to place more impetus and emphasis is on redistribution, where people don't need to prove that they were dispossessed, but rather where you have legislation that clearly stipulates who needs land in South Africa, where are they situated, mm-hmm. For what purposes. Mm-hmm. That's where we need to have more emphasis. It's on the land redistribution issue.
Mm-hmm. And as former President Thabo Mbeki has continuously said, that the land hunger question is a question that needs to be answered in urban areas, because that's where there is this pressure.
Yes. And for me, Eldon, from what I've seen, if you look at the Department of Land Reform, it's called Agriculture, Land mm-hmm. Reform and Rural Development. That already tells you that that's not where the issue of land reform is going to be solved, if we want to solve it in its entirety. Because mm. if its only focus is on rural development and agriculture, mm. what about urban areas? What about the departments such as, say, Public Works,
yeah.
COCDA? Those are the people that are departments that are well-placed to deal with issues of urbanization, land density, people needing to be closer to economic nodes. Mm-hmm. It's not to undermine farming and agriculture. I mean, all those are important for food security. But land hunger has proven to be in the urban spaces and where people want to be close to economic opportunities.
Yeah. Okay, Thabo, good morning.
Good morning, Eldrin. How are you?
Good, Thabo.
I'm good. Eldrin, no, listening to the interview today, you know, Patricia Dile was talking about government. You know, there's no inclusion of black people. There's no consultation. But I bet, Eldrin, white people, I guarantee you that very powerful white people were consulted about the land issue. We've been having meetings with Nkwinte when he was the minister. Even to today, Eldrin, nothing had come up. In Mpumalanga, there are farmers that have been threatened by officials that are going to take the land away from them. You know, Eldrin, this country, it is conquered by corruption. Just a mere civil servant that is supposed to serve black people is threatening to take the land away from them. Why, when they amend this thing, why aren't we consulted, Eldrin?
But there was consultation, Thabo.
Land owners.
Thabo, there was.
Why aren't we be consulted?
There was. Remember that even the work that Abu Bulelo have been doing have been flowing from the interaction that they've had with publics, with members of the public.
Mm.
Okay.
Hello?
But yeah. Okay. No, I was saying there was public consultation, but I think probably to the point, Bulelo, that Thabo was raising is, are we able to envisage public consultation in a different form, in a different way, where people feel that they are that actually are participating in how legislation is drafted and promulgated? Because sometimes you speak about, for instance, there's going to be public consultation, and public consultation takes place during the day, but we are told during the day we need to be at work and contribute to the economy.
This is such an important question that you raise, Aldrin. And I think this goes into the heart of inculcating a civic-based, citizenry-based form of lawmaking mm-hmm. and even policymaking. And this is important because I made the point earlier that there were so many important policies that were published.
Yes.
They get published in government gazettes. And how many people, you know, in South Africa, whether you're learned or not, whether you're professional or not, how many people actually keep tabs in terms of which government gazette is published when in mm-hmm. order to enable you to push public comment?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a discussion that definitely needs to be taken forward in terms of how do we create fit for purpose mechanisms
yes.
that meaningfully engage with people on the ground, because the decision is not for lawyers and courts
yeah.
and professors. and advocates and attorneys. Mm. It's there to serve the people. So that's a very fundamental issue that we need to start to look at in a meaningful and intentional way.
Because it's also about the language and the language being accessible.
Exactly. Exactly. If I say to you there was a beneficiary and selection and land allocation policy, what does that even mean? You know, we need to start speaking to people and not speaking at them and say, this is a policy that says we're trying to, we want you to tell us if we are right by saying land must benefit women, young people, people with disabilities, and what your opinion is about that. I think then we can see and start to drive meaningful citizenship based, and that's what's going to actually result in social cohesion.
Yeah.
If SIPO calls and says where were the consultations, it means what we're doing is not working.
Yeah, Bulelo, just before we go to Phumlani, there's also the question, and what has happened now in Zimbabwe, where there was the land expropriation without compensation, but then the government had to now come back and say that now we'll compensate for work that was done on the land. So
the
everything. So does this bill answer that question as well at all?
Well, at least this bill, for example, says that if they expropriate, say, your land, and it's subject to a mortgage, so it's still owned by the bank, the state will have to make good of the bank. So, in other words, anything that is if there's any productivity or production on the land, whether there's a mortgage bond or whether there are business operations, expropriation will not extend to those business activities. But if they do, you're going to have to be compensated. So it does. This bill does envisage that compensation extends to improvements on the land. Yeah.
Okay. Phumlani, good morning.
Morning, Tim. I think I like this discussion, but I think we need to discuss it holistically.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that, the economic ramifications in a country that's predominantly owned by white people. They've got billions of rands in South African banks. Undoubtedly, as we speak, they are formulating a strategy to this policy. So there is going to be a backlash. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to put it out on the table. They'd rather keep the land if the country is going to be toasted.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? There's a level of sacrifice I'm willing to accept, but we need to quantify it and put it on top of the table as part of discussion. People should know. I'm not. If the country is going to ban like Zimbabwe, then I don't want. Let them keep the land.
Okay. Sure, that's quite a political quagmire, I have to say there, Phumlani. Hlamalani, good morning.
Good morning, Andrian. I just wanted to add one element to the discussion.
Mm.
You see, I'm a professional soil scientist. I work for the Department of Agriculture, and my approach to the land question is: we have to look back at the history of what happened, and what happened when we say black people lost land. It was not just any land; it was the most productive land. And even today, if you look at the distribution and of how black people are located, it's just a few areas probably in KZN or Eastern Cape where black people are still, to a certain extent, within the areas which are highly productive in the agricultural point of view. But most of the people, when you talk about land in the rural areas, yes, there is open space, but there's not much you can do in terms of agriculture.
So it's not arable.
I'm based PMB, but I'm from Limpopo. I was born there. So you have areas which you can probably clear and develop, but you cannot farm.
Yeah. Okay. Philip, quickly, good morning.
Yes, Adrian, I want to deal with the issue of the foreign ownership of South African land. You go to Cape Town, the houses are sold in dollars and in euros. You can see this is not South African owning this property. That must be dealt with thoroughly. And when you talk of land, we are just narrow-minded. We are talking of only of the ground.
Yeah.
The land refers to the airspace, the ground, as well as the marine territory. Those are the things that when people doing politics, they must also look into that, because looking on the ground and all the agricultural land.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Philip. Bulelwa, just closing remarks, and I know that Philip has just opened a can of worms with that question around closing foreign remarks. Ownership of land.
Yes, exactly. Closing remarks for me, Elgin, is Philip is absolutely right. I'd like to use his statement as a closing remark to say, when we talk about the land question, we're also talking about water rights, access to water rights. We're talking about what land does South Africa have? What is it good for? We're talking about making sure that we can maximize and get the greatest value out of our land and resources. This also does mean that if it means that we have to protect protected areas, environmental areas, and marine law in order to not only get the best value out of our land, but to make sure that our people are equally distributed on land, that takes courage and that takes intention and purpose. And to be so goal-driven about that, that sometimes politics cannot be seen to be the main reason or the main basis. I think this is a moral question, and this is a question that has sat with South African with South Africa for centuries. It is crying out for resolution, and it's not, politics are not going to be the way to go.
Thank you so much for that, Bulelwa Mabasa, director there at Werkman's Attorneys.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.